You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Since the Olympic bid, homelessness has nearly tripled in Vancouver. The downtown east side has been particularly hard hit, with condo development outpacing social housing by a rate of 3-1. In response, members of the Downtown Eastside Women's Center Power of Women group and supporters organized a rally for housing at Pigeon Park. Following the rally, hundreds of people poured into a large vacant lot in the 100 block of West Hastings Street and began setting up tents. On the day after the Tent City was set up, there was a press conference at the site. Here are a couple of the voices from that press conference.
This Tent City is bringing awareness to this country on how the poor people in the Downtown East Side are being treated and shoved under the rug because the government has spent all their money on the Olympics.
And I'm telling the police right now that this area, where this area stings, we don't go. We don't go. We'll put up a big fight. We will put up a fight. We would close the gate. We would close that gate if the police did come. This is on native land. This tent city stays here as long as we want.
That was Elaine Durocher from the Power of Women group, followed by Ricky, a Downtown Eastside resident. Joining me now in the studio is Dave Dewart. He's with Streams of Justice, one of the groups supporting the Tent City. Hello, Dave.
Good morning.
Now, how many people are living at the Tent City right now?
Well, a couple days ago, we did a quick count of the tents, and there were probably 80 to 90 tents, and people come and go, so the exact number is tough, but I would say it's somewhere in the realm of 75 to 100 people.
Now, Gregor Robertson said this week that he believes that the tent village is only occupied by protesters. What's your reaction to that?
Well, that's not exactly accurate, because I know many of the people who are there who are homeless. I've known them for years, and I know their situation, and so there's a good number of people who are genuinely homeless there.
What kind of response have you had from the city?
We haven't had any response at all. In fact, there's been a kind of sustained silence, I guess. And so there's been no conversations, no negotiations, no communication at all, actually.
Have you been trying to contact them? Or?
No. We have engaged in this action, and we intend to sort of keep it going. And I think that that's our priority right now, is to sustain it, to keep it healthy and alive.
Now, who owns the site that you're on?
It's a site owned by Concord Pacific. And about a year ago, they were given a development permit for about 160 condo units of what the city called affordable housing. These condo units were relatively small, but range somewhere in the $300,000 to $400,000 mark. And it makes the notion of affordable a bit humorous in light of the income level of the community, in which 70% are low-income people. So it's hardly affordable for that group. But it sat empty for this past year. And then recently, with the coming of the Olympics, Concord leased the land to Vanock, and apparently it has been used in the last few weeks occasionally for parking lot, but when we moved onto the site, it was completely empty.
So did you choose that site particularly because of that history of condo development?
Well, in a way, we chose the site partly because it's on a visible Olympic corridor, partly because of its link to the Olympics with having been leased to Vanock. But other reasons, too. Some of the resident-based groups in the Downtown East Side said, well, what are our issues? What are our real concerns, the things that our folks are struggling with? And five were mentioned. Among them, homelessness, gentrification, and criminalization of low-income people in this neighborhood. And so those three became the core of our demands. So when I think of the site, we think of a place that is set up for condo development, therefore part of the gentrifying sort of move in the area. And yet it's empty, so we can sort of move on it with tents as a symbol of the need for housing and to address homelessness. And of course, with gentrification comes an increased criminalization, as people who buy the condos want the area cleaned up and want it sort of the visible poor folks of the neighborhood and their ways of living and surviving being moved out. And so I think all of those are tied in with the specific site.
Now, I visited the village a couple of days ago, and I saw a large banner called The Spirit of the Site, which outlined some guidelines for people living there and for visitors and for the media. What was the process of creating those guidelines?
So we met with the Power of Women group, and in discussing how we wanted to be together on the site, they drew from some of the things that are in place within their space at the Downtown Eastside Women's Center. And in particular, we're looking for a space in which the Indigenous elders and other elders that were part of the Power of Women group would feel safe, and that they wanted to create as a good space, because they're taking kind of the lead in making sure it remains as such a space. And so out of that came this draft of a spirit of the site, a community agreement that we want to sort of make sure that those kinds of things are held to. And for the most part, that has certainly been the case. There's been a great spirit of community there as people sing together and tell poetry, read poetry together and tell stories in the evening. And so I think it's been that kind of a space for people.
Yeah, you have a fire there just right by the entrance, I guess, where people sit around. Is that your gathering space in the evening?
It's actually, that is the, we have two fires. That one right at the entrance is the sacred fire that continually burns, and it's around which the elders sit. And so that is a very important part of sort of the entry space of the site. And further down in the site, there's a kind of community fire, we'll say, as people gather around to keep warm at night. And that's the place where, you know, guitars come out and singing and conversations. And that really builds the community strong from the inside.
It's such a comment on the Olympic flame, which is supposed to have that meaning, and yet, I mean, to me, does not seem to have that meaning.
Yeah, I mean, this our site is, in that sense, very inclusive and gives priority to people who are most adversely affected by homelessness and gentrification and criminalization. And so it's that welcoming space, and it's a space shared by, you know, diverse people. But one of the first elements of our spirit of the site document is respect for everyone who's on site. And I think, you know, that has been something maintained.
How do the day-to-day decisions of the site get made?
Well, there are organizers who then consult with the Elders Council or Elders Group and the Power of Women Group. And we have discussions together about some of those issues. There's also been two large community meetings on the site, in which we invite everyone who has a place on the site to come together to talk about issues, whether it's how we're handling the media, cleanup on the site, you know, all the sort of the day-to-day elements in running such a place. And so everyone has input. And a good example was the media. So how do we handle all of the media, both local and international, coming on site? They decided that we don't want cameras, we don't want video recorders on site, we don't mind the audio, but somebody who comes on site needs to be escorted. We need to know who they are. And then they're to interview Power of Women group, elders, local residents, community organizers. So a group of people who are able to speak to the media and tell them what's going on. So a decision was made, lots of discussion by the whole group, and as a consequence of that, a banner put up right at the beginning of the site that says, here's the media protocols, you know, we just ask everyone to respect that.
What kind of coverage have you had in the media?
Well, I've been on site mostly, so I haven't got out much, but apparently it's been quite good, both locally, but we've had lots of international media come by from Russia and Denmark and Germany and France. And so it's been interesting to engage with those sources of disseminating what's going on here at the Olympics, besides, you know, who won the hockey game.
Have you felt, or the people who have been interviewed, because obviously there's been a range of people who've been interviewed, that they've been asked questions about the issue rather than just the action?
That's a good question. I think there are obviously some that want to, that the angle of the interview is more what's going on here and the day-to-day running of it. Sometimes they ask the interviewees around their personal experiences, for perhaps if they're a resident of the Downtown East Side. And there are some that really want to probe the issue. What's going on here? Why did this emerge? What are your demands? And so on. So I think you get a whole range of things going on there.
Okay. So what is your, or is, are your principal demands?
So our principal demands are... to end homelessness, to stop gentrification, and cease from this criminalizing activity of poor people who are just trying to survive. And, you know, the pressures of the legal structures coming down on their lives is really very destructive personally and as a community. So we've sort of reiterated those demands on many occasions without going into, you know, details of policy and how that's going to be done, because I think that would require a much more sustained discussion of issues of justice and power and resources and that kind of thing. So we just wanted to name those because those were the key issues surfaced by groups, resident-based groups in this neighborhood. And so we've kind of stuck with that.
So what are the plans for the future? I mean, the Olympics is going to, the main Winter Olympics is going to end in a week, and then there's the Paralympics. Mm-hmm. What are you planning?
Well, at this point, we've kind of gone a step at a time. So initially, we set up an infrastructure that would last us for the first number of days, and then in conversations with the community together, have sort of decided that we were going to continue at least to the end of the Olympics, and where we go from there, we'll have to see. So it's a matter of a kind of unfolding plan. I think some of these actions, when you begin, you just can't tell how it's going to unfold. And so you're always leaving space for negotiating and determining where we go from here and the next step. So we're seeing it as in place for the next week or so, and potentially longer. We'll just see how it unfolds.
And how can people support you if they want to?
Well, I think some of the key ways, material support, could be around donations of food, tents, blankets, sleeping bags, those kinds of things. And certainly in any other way that there could be acts of solidarity, acts of support. Come down and be present on the site, and in that way show support, write letters, you know, just sort of raise the profile of it as much as possible.
Now, I know that you have 24-hour people awake 24 hours doing security on the site, so is that something that people can also contribute if they have the...
Yeah, that's
the
possible.
Time and the energy?
Yeah, I think it depends, too. We want to... know something of the folks that are doing the security for us, so that's really important. And the security is there 24/7, just because, you know, it's a vulnerable situation. It's a vulnerable population to some extent, and so we want to make sure it's safe. And the Power of Women group wanted to make sure it's a safe space for them and for all. And so the security team is meant to do that, just to ensure we not in any sort of oppressive way, but just to be, say, aware that there's somebody on site filming or coming in with a camera, and that they know the protocols, and somebody who wants to live there and they know the spirit of the site agreements, and those kinds of things, dealing with engagements with authorities or something, that there's a protocol set up for that. And so we just want to make sure that, you know, that's in place. It's also a security that it's really good in welcoming people to the site, who are just, say, moving in and out, coming from the neighborhood, walk by, come in and get something to eat. So I think it's also a very welcoming and calming initial presence and into the site.
I have found it so. I've been down there 3 times, and I have found it to be so.
Oh, I'm glad.
Now, I know that you're having a big rally at noon, and I'm going to let people know about that. And I just want to thank you very much for taking time out of the morning to come down and talk to us.
Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Dave Dewitt. He's with Streams of Justice, and they're one of the organizations supporting the Tent Village that was set up by the Downtown Eastside Women's Center Power of Women Group. And as I said, there will be a rally for a national housing program at the Vancouver Art Gallery today, and that's going to be at noon.